Thank you, Toji. That was very good. I thought that was a very good lesson. That will take you right. That will take us right into what we are going to go. Before I start, how many of you have brought back the hand notes that I gave you? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. I remember last Friday I gave out 25 handouts. Handouts 25. You are supposed to bring back the handouts when I give you. So please, that is not for your garbage can. That is not for anything else. That is for your study. We are going to study together. We have half an hour, 30 minutes before we close our youth meeting tonight. And I have a request that all of you please pay attention to what you are listening. These are invaluable lessons that you will not get anywhere in this country, anywhere, and I mean anywhere. So this is a basic understanding about your life. And last week we started with what is the mystery of human life. I don't know how many of you remember. There is a mystery in our life. And we many times wonder why we came to this world. Why are we here? You know, nobody of you planned to come here. You didn't plan to have your parents. Could you open that door, Calvin, for Miss Auntie to go? You didn't plan your parents. You didn't plan anything, but you came. You arrived in this place, and God has put you here, and there is a reason, and you should understand that. There is a mystery. God has a plan, and last week we looked into the plan of God. And we looked at God's plan. What was God's plan? Anybody if you can tell me? What was God's plan for us? His plan was to express himself through man. He wanted to have fellowship with man. And that is the reason that he created man in his own image. And the way I explained to you was that a glove is made for the hand in the shape of a hand. Man was created to fill God. God was to fill man, and that is why God created that man would be filled with the power and the presence of God. And through receiving God in himself, man can express God in his life. And that was the reason that God made man as a vessel. Last time we explained about as a vessel. You are a vessel before God. And a vessel has three parts. The outer part is the body. And then you have the soul and you have the spirit. There are three parts of you inside. The body is the outer shell that is in contact with the world. And that is, you are contacting on a physical way. The soul, which is your mental faculty, is the one that contacts and receives the things of the psychological realm. And the spirit is the one that contacts and receives God in us. So there are three phases of every person. You are in three different phases: body, soul, and spirit. And we looked into that at the last time. But what happened? We know that man fell from God because the first Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. And because of that, the sin came and deadened his spirit. And man became an enemy of God. And that sin came into the flesh and it affected all the three parts: the body, soul, and spirit. Sin damaged your entire being, your body, your soul, and spirit. And in this condition, man could not receive God. And because man could not receive God, we know that man tried by his own efforts. We know that Adam and Eve, they sewed fig leaves. They thought they can hide their nakedness, but they could not hide their sin. So God himself had to sew a cloth of man, of the skin of an animal, and clothed man at that time. Today we are going to go into the key number 4. Let's go forward. Key number 4. Now, in order to rescue man, to bring back man into the original situation. Now, all of you, I want you, this is very important. If you can understand this concept, you will understand a lot concerning your life. Now, because man sinned, that did not prevent God from fulfilling his plan. We heard about choices from Toji. The choice of one woman to disobey God brought sin into this world. The choice of one man, Abraham, to have a child before his promise from God brought Ishmael and brought this entire generation of the threat that we are experiencing today. The choice of one person. A choice of one person can do a great damage, but it can also do good for your life. So here, there was a choice that God made. God decided to come, and he came in the form, as we all know. This is very simple, but it is very profound. He came in the form of Jesus Christ. John, Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word that was in the beginning, the Word that was God, in verse number 14 it says, "That Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." So the Word became flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. And then what happened? Jesus died on the cross. We know that. To redeem man. Ephesians 1:7 says that we have a redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. And why did Jesus do that? John chapter 1 verse 29 says that Jesus became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He became the Lamb of God, the one that took your place, took your punishment. The death that you should have died, Jesus took upon himself. He became the Lamb of God. And then we see that, why did Jesus do that? Because he wanted to unite us with God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13 says that in Christ we who were far away were united back, and we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So this is wonderful. Jesus Christ did everything that we need. Now comes the part that we have to play. Let's go to the next slide. Now, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, now I have put some graphics for you. Through crucifixion, Jesus buried. But on the third day, he rose up, and through his resurrection, Jesus became the life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45, the last part of it says, the last Adam, who is Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Now listen to me. This is very important. So when Jesus became a life-giving spirit in our life, he can dispense his rich life into your life. The life that Jesus has come to give, he said that I have come to give you abundant life. It's a wonderful life. Let me tell you, Christianity is not a boring time. Many times we have made Christianity and following Jesus boring. It's not boring. That is not the way Jesus planned. He wanted us to have abundant life. The life with all its abundance. He wanted to enjoy the abundance of life. And we see here what in John chapter 3. It says that that which is born in the spirit is the spirit. That which is born in the flesh and which is the flesh. John 20 verse 22 says, and Jesus breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus came to give us the life-giving spirit. Let's go to the next slide here now. So We come to a term which is called regeneration. Do you know what is regeneration? Can anybody tell me? Okay. What is regeneration means?
I think it's when you die. No, that's reincarnation.
Okay. Good try, but anyway. Anybody else? Okay, you don't have to read it. I wanted to ask if you had an idea. What is regeneration? Okay? See, when God puts his life into you. Now listen to me. Listen to me. When Christ became the life-giving spirit, we can receive God's life into our life. Regenerating. We are regenerated. The Bible calls it regenerate. Can you open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, this is the wonderful life, the life-giving spirit that God wants us to enjoy in our day-to-day life. It's a wonderful life. When the life-giving spirit comes and transcends into our life, our living is wonderful. And I will explain to you again how it can be wonderful. Let me tell you, Christian life is not a dull life. We have made it dull because we don't enjoy that relationship with God. It is more wonderful than anything else. You know, filling with the Spirit is compared to drinking with wine. In the Bible, they have compared it to drinking wine, which is liquor, you know. When somebody intoxicates on the physical time liquor, he feels like what? What is that word that you call when you are out of your senses? You are?
Drunk.
Not drunk, but then you are on high, you know. You are on high and you are basically, you know, you are elated, you know. You start talking too much. Maybe you start laughing too much, maybe you start acting too much, you are in the top of the world. You are not afraid. Are you afraid? Have you seen about any drunkard who is afraid?
Yes.
After he drinks? No.
No,
you lose your fear. You lose everything. But let me tell you, now listen here. Let us not dwell on the drinking part of wine, but I'm talking about the drinking of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, comes in our life, all our inabilities are covered through the life-giving Spirit of Jesus. And let me tell you, that is a wonderful life that we can have if you try. But we don't bother to try many times. We think it's all in the book and hardly ever we have even time to read the Bible, right? I mean, even for Sunday morning, last time when Andrew's pastor said you have to close your Bibles and tell your memory verse, I could see some of our young people trembling there in the front because they never expected Pastor Andrew to say like that.
Mr. Chaco.
He said, you cannot. Then I heard some verses that were told, which I've heard, like, if I start counting the repeated words that you say, you know, I won't go into that, but that is another story. So, you know, all this will not happen if you have the life-giving spirit in you. Now let me come back. Let us understand here. John chapter 3 verse 3. Open your Bibles. John chapter 3 verse 3 says, "Unless you are born again, you will never enter into the kingdom of God." The first step. You need to be born again. How are you born again? You are born again into the new life that Jesus gives you. If there is any one of our young people sitting here who has not experienced being born again or getting salvation in your life, you need to ask Jesus into your heart and you need to be born again. The Bible says, it's not me. Look to John chapter 3 and verse number 3 says, "I truly say to you, unless you are born again, you will never
see the kingdom.
Never enter into the kingdom of God."
Enter.
Or see the kingdom of God. If that is see in your Bible, it may mean that. So you cannot be a part of God's plan if you are not born again. Now, when we come to receiving Christ, this is the experience that we have of being born again. What is meant by being born again? Can anybody tell me? What are the steps that you do to be born again? Number one, repent. What is meant by repentance? Tell me. You all young people should know this by now. What is meant by repentance?
Repentance is
change your way of life, change everything by your way of thinking. Which means, let's say you used to cuss, you used to say curse words, okay? When you repent, you don't say that words anymore. Before you had wrong friendship, after you repent, you don't keep that wrong friendship anymore. Before you had certain addictions in your life, after you are repented, you are not having the same addictions in your life. Do you understand that? So, first is, we must repent. But then, you should also believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Very simple question. Do you believe in Jesus? You have to repent. You have to believe. These are both sides of the same coin. You cannot have one without the other. If you say you believe, you should not be having the same life, your same actions, your same thoughts as you were before you were born again. Your life needs to reflect on that. Look to Acts chapter 16. Turn your Bibles, please. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21 says, testifying to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So believe and repent. You need to have both in your life. Now let me talk to you about the salvation of God. Let's go to the next slide. God's salvation. God's salvation. What does it mean? After regeneration, once you believe and once you have repented, the next step is called baptism. It is a baptism because you believe. So, let me ask you a question here. How many of you are born again, children of God? I want to see your hands. You had the experience, all of you, except a couple of you. Okay. Did you have a born again experience when you believe in Jesus and you repented of your sins? Okay. After you do that, the next step is that you need to be baptized. It's not what I'm saying. This is not what any church is speaking, but it's what the Bible is saying. Look to Mark 16:16. What does it say? It says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. You listen to me? Now, after believing, how many of you have not taken baptism here? After believing, you have not taken baptism. Raise your hands. Okay. Okay. Now, this is the time that you should think about it. Number one, the Bible says you need to believe. You need to repent of your sins. We are all born in sins. We are all sinners. We need to repent. But after repentance, after being born again, the Bible says we need to believe. And those who believe, we need to be baptized. Okay, let me not go into that. But let me go to the next step. And because the majority of you are here who have already baptized. Right? Let me see the ones who have already taken water baptism. Good. Okay. Now, this is the point from which you should start paying total attention. This is what God wants from me. And I'll tell you, it is a wonderful experience if you are living in the will of God. After you believe and baptize, you start living your life the way God wants from you. What is that life? It says God begins the lifelong process. It's a lifelong process of gradually spreading himself as life from the believer's spirit into his or her soul, which is the process we call transformation. We are all in the process called transformation. What is transformation? It's a change. It's a transformation from the inside that God wants to bring in your life. You see, God is putting his life into you, and that life is coming out. You see the arrows that is going out? It's like going out. It should start from the within, the spirit. I told you, it is an outer shell, the body, Then you have the soul and then you have the spirit. God's spirit touches our spirit and His life touches our life, and that should come out to reflect upon our soul and our body. And that is a process that it says it's a process called transformation. Ephesians chapter 3. Look to Ephesians. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. I want someone to let's go to the next slide. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Can somebody read that? Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Okay, this is the word. This process is called transformation. Now, this is the transformation that God requires from each one of you. What is it? It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did you all pay attention? Open your Bibles. Don't close it. Turn to Romans 12, verse number 2. This is very important for you who are born again and baptized. You are living a life of... this is what should be happening every moment of your life. It is called transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. And what is the transformation includes? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. This transformation will not happen unless you cooperate. It needs your help. And that is what Toji was speaking about, choices. It is your decision. If you don't want to transform, you will not transform. That is why we see believers in the church who are carnal and worldly. They behave exactly like somebody in the world because there is no transformation that has taken place in their life. But that is not what God wants from you. God wants our life to turn in such a way that God will start working through our spirit inside out and transform every part of our life. But if you don't, you have the wheel in your hand. It's like the car. Your body is the car, right? You are the driver. You are having the wheel in your hand. Unless you turn the wheel, the car will not move here and there. So it is your decision. It is your choice. God will not force Himself on you to make certain things. It is your choice. Let us turn to Philippians 2:12. What does it say there? Philippians 2:12. Yeah. Read the last part of it. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Can you understand this? Do you understand this part? It says work out your own salvation with what? What does it say there? It's fear and
trembling.
What does it mean? What is fear? Is it funny? It's like a joke, the fear. Trembling, what do you think about that?
Shaking.
What is work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? It means you work out. You know, as I spoken about the Olympics player, you work out. You have to work out your own salvation. That is what it means about transformation. You need to allow... Now listen to me, everybody. All of you listen to me. You need to allow God to work in your life. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't give Him the permission, He's not going to force Himself on you. He will not. And you know what your life is. I don't know. Your parents don't know. The pastors don't know. The people in the church doesn't know. But you know what your life is. You need to understand how much of transformation is happening in your life. How many years have you been since you are born again? How many years have you been since you have taken water baptism? Has your life taken a step towards God, or has it taken a step away from God? Think about that. We need to work out And it is through fear and trembling. This is not a joke. Many times when we come to God's presence, we need not take it lightly. You know, you remember in the first century, two people died all of a sudden, Ananias and Sapphira. You know that? They were killed on the spot. We are talking about the New Testament church. I thank God that God is not bringing His judgment upon us like He did then. We would all be dead. I would be dead. But it is His grace upon us. We need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So what happens? Look here. The believer cooperates by allowing the Lord to spread into his soul until all his desires, thoughts and decisions become one with that of Christ. Did you understand? I want you to think. Think about this. This is about you. This is the basic of Christian life. I'm talking about the basic of Christian life. You are allowing God to spread into your soul and spirit so that all your desires, all your thoughts, and all your decisions become one. Now you see the diagram. There is a big change in the diagram. Where is God now? He's the center of your life. Like a center of the spoke of the wheel. He's at the center. Everything comes out because it is in line with God's word. Because it is in line with what God wants from you. Let me ask you one question. Is God the center part of your life? Don't answer lightly. I don't want you to say yes just because I'm asking you. I want you to think about it. I want you to get serious, and I want you to get serious with God, because God wants to do some great things in your life. God wants to take your life and use you mightily. You know Billy Graham, one person. How many people he got influenced through his life? You know how? He decided to say, yes, God, you become the center point of my life. A D.L. Moody, how did he become so great in the sight of God? Because he said, Lord, you become the center point of my life. And God used him. Okay, let's go to the last slide and I'm going to close here. Let's go into what exactly is the God's full salvation. So as we are getting transformed, it says, this is the God's full salvation. You know, when Christ will return, God will fully saturate our body with His life. And that is what is called as glorification. So you are transformed, and then you are glorified, where Christ will totally transform you and transform your life. Next slide. And once the glorification happens, instead of being empty and damaged, the glorified believer is filled and saturated with the life of God. This is the ultimate aim that the Lord is leading us to, the ultimate point. Let's go to the final slide here. So this is what is God's full salvation. So you can now fully express God's plan. And let me tell a conclusion that after receiving the life that God has given you, you would need to keep fellowship with other believers to enjoy the presence of God. And that is why we come to a church like this. That's why we come to a youth meeting like this. You know why? To keep the fellowship and to get nourished by life from God to grow and mature in Christ. Did you understand? This is called transformation. If you forgot everything I spoke today, don't forget this word called transformation. God wants to transform your life. God wants to change you. God wants to work inside of you. I want us all to stand upon our feet for a minute. Close your Bibles and everything. I want you to reflect a bit on what you heard. I want you to think about it. Please, all of you, close your eyes. I just don't want you to look here anywhere. I just want you to think about it. And I want you to reflect upon your own life. You know, God's Holy Spirit wants to work in your spirit in such a way that He wants to work inside out. And God wants to transform you by the renewing of your mind. It says, do not be conformed with this world, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me close here. I want you to, for a moment, think about your life and look to where you are today. Let me ask you this one question. Are you pleasing God by your thoughts, by your actions, by your words, by your priorities, by the friends you keep, by the internet sites that you visit, by the books that you read? Are you pleasing God? Are you being transformed? If you are not being transformed daily, there is something wrong and you need to come back to the place, because God wants to transform you. God wants to change your life totally. And He wants to give that abundant life, that you will reflect God's life when you talk, in your dealings, in everything that you do. For a moment, can you just surrender your lives and just pray to God? This is not for me. Don't do anything. If you don't feel like, you don't have to do it. I'm not going to force any one of you to do anything. But if you feel like it and you think that God has spoken to you, because you know what, with every time when God speaks to you and you disregard Him, remember, a time will come that's no more times that you will be getting. This is occasions that you can come closer to God. Tonight, as I'm closing, I want to ask you just one question, and I want to close here. How many of you want to truly be transformed by the power of God? I want to see a hand.